Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Overnight America. Thanks for joining us here. Did you hear at the top of the hour with Alex Degman, he mentioned that the trolley's getting at least funding till the end of the year? Why are they throwing more money at this? What do they think is going to happen that's going to make this financially an option for the city or the county? It doesn't make sense at all, seriously. Why do we have to keep picking up this burden of the trolley? Why do they keep it on life support? Man. And then the story itself mentioned that there's not a lot of details known on exactly how this funding came through. It makes it sound like the transportation district was able to pitch some money in, but only till the end of the year. What's the point? Like, something's going to change between now and then. Why? Come on. And you didn't have a better way to spend that money. I know that you don't want to admit that you made a huge mistake by funding this to begin with. You know what one of the biggest revelations about this loop trolley car has to be? One of the biggest revelations is that when they start to talk to people about this, and I think it was the New York Times article that looked into the Del Mar loop trolley, one of the biggest revelations is that they talked to the people that were responsible for putting the financial match from the government, because, I mean, the government pitched in nearly half of the $52 million that was necessary in order to build this thing. Not a little under half, because at first, remember, the projected price for this thing was a lot lower. Then they had to go back and ask for more money because they ran out and they knew that they were in some trouble. So they already had done this once. So the government pitches in, if I remember correctly, $26 million. And the idea was they had these funds set aside for large areas that wanted to put trolleys in. What a waste of money to begin with. Why in the world would the government be thinking, you know, let's spend hundreds of millions or even a billion or whatever money on putting all of this down? So altogether, not that smart. So they talked to someone that was responsible for approving this funding. And you know what they say? They said, I'm not quoting them exactly, but I'll get the gist of it. Knowing what we know now, I don't think they would have received the funding. Knowing what they know now. The government even realizes this is a mistake. But we're going to continue this charade as if people are going to start using this thing magically, because winter? Now, I will correct myself. I didn't realize that these trolley cars were heated. When I went onto it, because I had some family in town, we were at the History Museum, and I had nowhere else to go. This is during the week I had off. I had nothing else to do, nowhere to go, and I thought, well, if we get stranded for an hour while they try to fix this thing because it's broken down, that's not going to be the worst thing ever, and it might be fun to say goodbye to the trolley before it goes away forever. So I hop on this thing, and it was a good experience. Listen, I've had good experiences, and I've had bad experiences on the trolley. I've had instances where it didn't show up. You know, they say they're on the schedule. Oh, what, every 45 minutes, one of these things were going to come by. So we were waiting and waiting and waiting. An hour goes by, nothing. So add an hour on top of the time of, let's say, before the last stop, it could be a couple hours between these stops. And there was one time where we got onto it and the trolley car broke down and we were stuck for an hour on this thing during the day. And I kept thinking, you know, I got better things I could be doing with my time than sitting on this trolley. And then you look back and you just see cars as far as the eye can see, all of them frustrated because they're stuck behind this thing. And I feel for the operators. Oh, man, these operators are pure saints to have to deal with these things. They're frantically trying to get these things running again. It's not their fault that these things are failing, and they're angels on earth trying to get it up and running because there's just a couple of people on there they don't want to disappoint. Every time I've been there, it's either we're the only ones on it I've wrote it twice. No, three times. I've wrote it three times. Either we're the only ones on it or there's no less than five other people on it or less, five or less. So adding this on to it, it's not like they're going to be able to recoup any of the money that they're throwing extra into it. They say they're going to have to use this as an opportunity to try to reevaluate how they're handling it. I got a couple of ideas, okay? A few ideas I've floated in the past when it comes to the loot trolley. Idea number one, how about you run this thing like a business as opposed to a hobby? It's been run like it's just this extra thing you do because it's fun. And that's why it's losing a ton of money. It's not good. That's a terrible way to look at it. Number two, if you want to look at this as a business, you need to treat it like a business. So these little things that people come to expect, like, oh, I don't know, being able to tell what time the trolley's going to be there, having a consistent schedule, being able to tell where the thing's located, maybe perhaps getting it onto an app as opposed to all of this being a mystery. Or how about when you know that the thing's not working right, you make a way for it to work right? That could be a nice way to handle it. And number three, if you were the owner of this operation and you saw the writing on the wall, at some point you're going to have to say, I'm sorry, we're going to have to close this operation down. You need to be able to have that discretion to know when it's time to cut it off as opposed to keep putting more and more money into it. I feel like the city bought a DeLorean. If anyone knows anything about cars, DeLoreans look nice and shiny and pretty, but they were some of the worst cars ever of all time. They broke down all the time. They were unreliable. They were in Back to the Future, so people thought it was cool. But anyone that's ever owned a DeLorean has hated the DeLorean. It was a money trap. This is the DeLorean. This is our modern-day DeLorean. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120 on Overnight America KMOX.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
Overnight America, it continues at least for another hour. We're live up until midnight, so that means you can call in and talk. That's what we do. Yes, we talk. So if you got a phone and you would like to use it to make sure it's still working, the number is 314-436-7900. You can text that line as well, or you can also call 800-925-1120, no matter where you are. Feel free to call. I'm in a singing mood tonight. My wife and son will be heading out for the weekend. My wife is going to visit some friends and then go to her cousin's wedding. I decided not to join her because I didn't want to take vacation time for that. So she's going to go enjoy it. It's going to be like her little time to have all the fun, and she's taking our son with her. So that means I'm going to be home alone, and I have no idea what I'm going to do this weekend. I have the ability to do anything my little heart desires. So if I want to go eat at places that she won't normally allow me to eat because no one else likes it, I get to go do that if I want to. Whatever toppings on the pizza I want to get, I can do that. If I want to rent a movie that she would never watch, I can do that too. The world is at my fingertips. What am I going to do the next couple of days? I'm probably going to lay on the couch the whole time and do nothing. Well, no, I got some work I need to do, so I can do that too. I wanted to point one thing out. There's a story about James Dean being reborn in CGI for a Vietnam War action drama. This is such a weird thing. James Dean as a movie star was well before my time. I don't think I've ever seen a movie with James Dean, but his reputation is still alive today. I mean, many people still know who he is. There's more people out there that know who he is that have never seen one of his movies than people that have actually watched one of his movies. I'm sure of it. There has to be. Because, I mean, he wasn't in a lot of different movies. I mean, he was gone too early. He died in 1955 in a car crash at the age of 24. And you know what's going to happen next? They're going to revive him in CGI form. Apparently, there's a project coming from filmmakers who recently launched a production house called Magic City Films. And they bought the rights to his likeness from his family in order to CGI him as one of the characters in this movie. Isn't that a little Creepy? I think that's really creepy. Really creepy. The movie's called Finding Jack, and it's about the abandonment of more than 10,000 military dogs at the end of the Vietnam War. Dean is going to play a character called Rogan. Is he really, though? Can you give him credit for it? So apparently it's going to be some dude in a green costume that's going to do all the acting, and then they're going to CGI over this green costume the character that is going to be played by James Dean. And then they're going to have some guy as the voice actor impersonating James Dean while they do this too. It is so strange because ultimately it's another actor doing the movements. They're just making him look like someone else and calling it James Dean. It is so strange. So it's almost like Millie Vanilli. So it was someone else that was doing all the vocal and they were just lip syncing it back in the day. But Millie Vanilli got all the credit for it. I'd be a little leery about them. Do you think Hollywood's going too far? I think they are. I think this is sad. This is kind of sad that this is the best they can do right now. Some people say it's an art. Like, you know, it's the way technology's going. You have the ability to do it. I'm sure some people would enjoy seeing it. It's a throwback. It's kind of interesting. 436-7900 or 800-925-1120. Kevin's calling in about the trolley we just talked about. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I was just calling. That payroll must be awful high to spend $500,000 for 2 months.
I don't know what the payroll is. They only have like a dozen employees, don't they? It's not too many. And they were even talking about trying to add another employee. Remember how they said in order to fund it till the end of next year, part of the money would go towards hiring more employees for something that no one uses.
Exactly. It must be a top overhead.
I don't know how.
A heavy top overhead.
I would love to see who's getting paid what, honestly. It would be a good question.
Exactly. I agree.
All right. Hey, thanks, Kevin.
All right.
Bye. You know, when we talk about the sustainability of the trolley in order to keep this thing going, how much of it is actually the just probably all of it at this point is going to go straight towards the payroll? Well, no, I take that back. They were trying to get a third trolley up and running, which is ultimately a second one because there's always one always busted to begin with, right? There's always one broken down. It seems like these things have a problem with it. And from the experience that I had, it had to do something with the door. So there was that one time we were stranded for an hour. The door became misaligned by just a little bit. So what happens is even though the door closes and latches and locks, if it's just a little bit off, the whole trolley shuts down and it won't allow you to move. So you have to like get this thing just right. It's very finicky. So even though it's perfectly safe to move this thing with the doors closed the way they are, if it's not closed all the way, it's like, sorry, you got an issue. We're not going to let you drive anymore. So that was part of the problem we saw, too. All right, so going back to the James Dean thing, it reminded me of something producer Mike did to me a couple of days ago. So on Halloween, I had the day off. It had to be a day where I worked a double shift, so I got to pick a day off that week. So I picked Thursday. It was fun to go out and trick-or-treat with the kid. And when I had the day off, Clint Hosse came in, and producer Mike, even though I wasn't here, still decided to add the Overnight America intro into all of this, you know? Here, this is what it sounded like. And welcome to America. Did that work? You know what? This is exactly what Hollywood is doing to James Dean right now. What they're doing is they're going to take his likeness. They're going to pretend it's him. They're going to be able to do these things and pretend it, but it's really not him. So it would be like if producer Mike one day decided to do a show, but instead he decided to find all the work parts of me saying the words on the air at some point, and then just like a puzzle piece, or maybe like he's clipping out a letter that a stalker would send to someone, you know, word by word, cutting it out and taping it onto a script and then just playing that audio back. It would almost be something like that. So while Finding Jack will be a live action movie, The Hollywood Reporter understands that Dean's performance will be constructed via full body CGI using actual footage in photos. Another actor is going to come in and do their voice. I've seen all kinds of actors go out there and they have all said some very similar things. You're taking the art away of what an actor provides And it would almost be like me here on this show again, if you had a message and you were just going to cut up the words and make it sound like I'm saying something I'm not, it would be taking the actor's ability or the artist's ability away to perform. And that's a big, scary thing. Now, with the way technology is going in these deep fakes, the deep fakes are the things that a lot of people in Hollywood have concluded there's no way to stop it. It's going to come here. But it scares them because anyone could take your face and put it onto someone else. The implication is they can put it on something that's very graphic. They can put it on something that's very violent. They can put it on something that you totally disagree with and make it look like. Or in the case of politics, they could pretend to put it onto a person to make it look like a world leader saying something they're really not. They can give the impression that, you know, war has started or they're going to send bombs or whatever it is. And it's enough to dupe just one country or one leader, and there could be repercussions or something. And all of a sudden, we got missiles flying back here because of the deep fake. You know, government's very concerned about these things. A lot of people are concerned about these things. Hollywood says, oh, it's no big deal. We're just going to take that back. People have died, and we're just going to keep making movies with their likeness. So this is what they say. They say, Dean's family, hold on, this opens up an opportunity for many of our clients who are no longer with us, says Mark Rossler, CEO of CMG Worldwide, which represents Dean's family along with more than 1,700 entertainment, sports, and musical historical personalities, including Burt Reynolds, Christopher Reeve, Ingrid Bergman, yeah, Neil Armstrong, Betty Davis, and Jack Lemmon. That's sad. I forgot who celebrity it was online that said, there's a reason why you can't just use a computer to create a new John Lennon song, because it's not John Lennon and it's not the same. There's a reason why you can't do these things, and there's a reason why it's not them and it's not the art anymore. It's just a computer pumping it out. And it really weakens the ability for an artist to be able to be an artist when these things happen. It's funny how these likenesses, the likenesses of these old performers, they're able to go out there and be sold by the family members for a quick dollar. And I'm sure that the executives, these Hollywood executives, go into this saying that there are many fans out there and there's a new generation of people that would like to be exposed to your loved one. Oh, just think about all the old movies they're in. And now they'll be able to explore and they'll be able to experience for themselves the art that they have once put onto this planet. And you'll have a whole new generation loving it. And they'll buy the movies and they'll rent the movies and you'll make a lot of money. Plus, we'll pay you for the likeness. Just sign on the dotted line. There's no other way you'll ever make money from this person. And, you know, they go through the spiel and they talk to the family and they try to play on the heartstrings. They talk about how rich they're going to be after this. And I'm sure there's a lot of family members that don't have the same discretion that their loved one would have, and they wouldn't have the same ability to say no because it's not them. It's just not them. It's kind of sad. This is what the litmus test, I think, should be. I think anyone that has the rights to a celebrity, and, you know, I'm not in that category, this is what they should do. They should answer the question. If someone were to take your face and put it onto someone creating pornography and put it on the internet for everyone to see, thinking it was you that was in that adult film, would you give a ringing endorsement for that? Would you allow them to do that to your likeness? And if the answer is no, I don't want that, the answer is probably the artist wouldn't want them put into another film either. Got to be realistic. This is Overnight America, KMOX.
This is Overnight America, sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com on KMOX.
Can we just talk about how lousy government can be for a moment? In Michigan, there was a story that came out and shared by Reason, Reason.com. I think they're more independent, more on the lines of, you know, both Democrats and Republicans are stupid. Now, Reason also has Remy, who does those awesome, awesome music videos. Do you remember Remy? I played it so many times. Like, here's one that was just a perfect song.
Franken says if he was still in the Senate, he'd press Kavanaugh in two key areas.
I bet he would. Thanks, Ed.
Our top story tonight, the president's tweeting will dispel the silly notion we're deliberately misleading. Plus, people are outraged at Starbucks holiday cup. We'll have the fiery backlash as the program picks up.
Huh. Who's outraged?
The world is embittered. No, really, who's outraged? Two people on Twitter.
Now, it goes on. He's the best. He is so good. And he's done a whole slew of those different songs. And he's with Reason as well. So the other more independently thinking, not conservative, not Democrat or liberal by any means. And they did this story about an 83-year-old retired engineer in Michigan. Tell me how absolutely ridiculous it is in Michigan right now where something like this could happen. And you want to know why people hate the government, why people mistrust the government? Because government, in a lot of cases, abuse their powers like we're seeing here. In Oakland County, a man underpaid his property taxes by $8.41. In Oakland County, seized his property, auctioned it off, took the revenue, and kicked the dude out on the street. Under Michigan law, it's legal. His name is Uri Raphael, and he lost his property and all of his equity associated. It's just one of thousands of people who are victimized by Michigan's uniquely aggressive property tax statute. There's a lot of people that have been affected by this up there, and they find out it's anything but fair. And they also find that there is a giant push right now to the Michigan Supreme Court in order to stop this practice from happening and get back some of the money that the government stole. I mean, this is literally stealing from people. $8.41 underpaid on their property taxes. So this is the story that how he lost it. Organizations representing property owners like Raphael says that the practice is unconstitutional and unreasonably harsh. Home equity theft for sure. Says Michigan is currently stealing from people across the state. An attorney with the Pacific Legal Foundation, a nonprofit law firm, now representing him and other homeowners in a class action lawsuit that's going to go in front of the Michigan Supreme Court. So back in August of 2011, he purchased this 1,500-square-foot home in Southfield, Michigan, a lower-middle-class suburb of Detroit. He purchased it for $60,000, and he registered it, and it was there under his name by 2012. So this is August of 2011, then it's in his name, January of 2012. About 6 months later, he was notified that he underpaid his 2011 property tax bill by $496. Okay, those things happen when you purchase a property. Those things should have been part of the discovery process when you're running title and all of these, and you have title insurance for it too, to make sure you get all of that taken care of. But sometimes there's debts that carry over onto the property. I get it. Those things happen. So what does he do for that $496? He made property tax payments on time and he paid it in full. But he made a mistake. What he found out was there was a penalty and there was interest owed. And he calculated the interest owed, but he miscalculated and he underpaid by $8.41. According to this law in Michigan, they are not required to tell you and inform you when your property is about to be taken for obviously a mistake for $8.41. So what happens? They realize they have this opportunity to seize this property. The state of Michigan decides to seize the property. They put it up on auction. Someone else buys the home for $24,000, which you can tell is less than half of what he paid for it. And then they send him a notice. Your property has been sold. You need to vacate the property. Get out. You know, this is an 80-some-year-old man that they did this to. Over $8.41. There are many ways to distrust the government. There are many ways the government hassles people. This is one of the most outrageous things in Michigan. It is insane. This is flat out theft. Flat out. And the state of Michigan and anyone involved in this, absolutely thieving. Is that a word, thieving? They're thieves. So the root of this goes back to 99. The legislation called Act 123 Michigan, it gave the county treasurers the authority to act on primary agents handling foreclosures and auction properties with unpaid taxes. So the idea of this legislation is to encourage the rapid reuse of property to prevent blighted properties to overall improve the property. So what they say is, we need to speed this process up. You know, hey, we got these blighted properties. People are abandoned properties. You know, it's just sitting here. No one's mowing the lawns and it's just going into disarray. If we can just speed this process up and we'll act as the creditors, hey, we can get someone else in there. And you know what? We won't have these abandoned homes. We won't have these areas that'll just attract crime. We won't have these blighted properties. We won't have these abandoned windows where people have busted them out. Because, you know, we'll flip these things faster than anyone could see. And you know what? We'll only do it to the ones that have unpaid taxes. Well, how's that working out? They gave another example in here of what happened. And this is really crazy. And they talked about how much money this state of Michigan has seized. Wayne County has funneled more than $382 million in delinquent tax surpluses into its general fund. Wayne County is the big county that is right there with Detroit. I think Detroit technically doesn't count as Wayne County, but it is also Wayne County. When I lived in Detroit, I grew up in Detroit. Basically, the city of Detroit is defined by its suburbs. There's a lot of similarities between Detroit and St. Louis. I'm telling you, St. Louis is in a much better position than the Detroit. Much better position. But no one lives in the city. Here, at least in St. Louis here, people want to live in the city, and there's certain areas where it's safe and good to live, and you look at really high-end areas in the city that are places to live, and there's also bad areas in the city to live. Detroit, I wouldn't live anywhere in Detroit. But the whole area is, like, built by the suburb. Like, at least in St. Louis, there's nice neighborhoods where people move into, and they try to build up these properties in these communities and these neighborhoods. Detroit, that's not the case. If you grew up in Detroit, you were born in Detroit, that's the only people still living in Detroit. People don't move into Detroit anymore. Don't believe these articles that say everyone, all the young millennials are moving back in. Don't believe that. It's all defined by the suburbs. So Wayne County being one of those, the biggest ones, yeah, 300 and some million dollars they've been able to steal from people because of this. It says there is some sort of assumption that tax foreclosures were happening to abandoned buildings. We saw thousands of properties that had people living in them being auctioned off. Some cases, they don't even inform them. There was one example in here that is pretty remarkable. Where is it? Let me fast forward into this article as I'm trying to read it. Okay, on the morning of 2014, Linda Irwin, Cass County's treasurer, emailed a county contractor to say she was, quote, tickled pink to have the opportunity to seize on a $3.5 million lakefront property. The deadline for the property owner to settle an unpaid property tax debt passed a day before the county foreclosed on it. They foreclosed on it the next day after the deadline passed on a $3.5 million lakefront property. The man who purchased this property paid the taxes, but then realized some of the other things that needed to be paid on it. It was an instance where he was building on the property. And you know what they decided to do in Cass County? They decided, you know what, we're going to send you a letter for what you owed to the property you're building on, which doesn't even have a mailbox yet. So what happened when the county sent a letter to a place that doesn't even have the address set? The house wasn't even built. Well, the letter gets sent back to the county, and then they said, oh, we did our due diligence. We're going to take this $3.5 million property. He gets instruction 3 weeks later that someone was taking his property. And he said, wait, what? The county sold my $3.5 million piece of property? It didn't say a word to me? He said, if it's a settled, tell me what I owe. I'll pay it. And they said, nope, too late. Someone already legally purchased your property. And you guess who purchased it? County officials. Isn't that something? Wow, that's strange. That doesn't smell like government corruption. They have other instances here. Wayne County Treasurer Eric Sabry was being caught on camera admitting that Wayne County and the city of Detroit sometimes conspire to manipulate the auction process. The Detroit Free Press and the Detroit News also published a joint expose showing that his relatives purchased several homes in county-run tax foreclosure auctions. So you have the county treasurer that is using his power to foreclose on homes that people are living in instances where people may owe $8.41. they don't know they owe this money because they're not just, they're telling them ahead of time. They make it sound like they're giving them a million warnings, but they don't even, they're not even obligated to say they're going to do this. Oh, you just owe it, so we're going to take it. So you have them scheming with their friends. Oh, this is a great opportunity for you. Why don't you come in? They manipulate the auction process so their buddies and their cronies can buy these things. This is how Detroit works. Detroit is one of the most corrupt areas in all of the United States. It makes Chicago look like child's play. And this is one of the reasons why. And this class action lawsuit that's going in front of the Supreme Court, I'm hoping that they realize and there's some action taken on just how abusive this policy is and how abusive the people that are taking advantage of this is in government. And they are absolutely stealing from those people. So frustrating. That was a story from Reason. You can find it on Reason.com. A Michigan man underpaid his property taxes by $8.41. The county seized his property, sold it, and then kept the profits. That's the name of the article that came out today. Well worth your time to be informed. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Welcome back. I played this in the last hour, but I felt like it was appropriate to replay because tickets go on sale for the KMOX holiday radio show, and it's discounted for the first day, which is Thursday, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. If you go to KMOX.com/events, you can get the $5 off coupon code, which you punch in when you purchase the tickets. We hope that you can come out and have some fun. I had a chance to talk to Kevin Killeen about it. Still, my favorite person in the city of St. Louis. Kevin Killeen, KMOX Holiday Radio Show is coming up on Monday, December 16th at the Sheldon Concert Hall. How many of these have you wrote so far?
This is our 20-somethingth. Maybe 22nd, 23rd. I'll be with KMOX 25 years in July, and so I only start, I think this is the 24th.
Yeah, that's exciting. It says
It's a challenge to keep it exciting. People moan around here. They say, are we going to do that thing?
I don't know why
when
they
show
that.
Up, well, you're just here
I'm too young,
now.
Yeah.
But once they show up, the egos come out, and they really perform.
This year's play is called Don't Forget to Remember the Future. And if you go to KMOX.com/events. Christmas comedy. A boy meets girl comedy about a Chicago man and a St. Louis woman. This is a pretty exciting one. Is this the... Well, Amy Mark Scores has been... she was in last year's. So this is not her debut.
Yeah, but she has a prominent role in this one where she is the girl. And she works with the Chicago man played by Chris Raby.
Mm-hmm.
Who grumbled last year, Killeen, how come I'm not in the play? I'm on the air more than anybody around here. More than that Ryan Recker.
I don't know about that.
And I thought, you know, he's right. So I thought of a story idea where, you know, St. Louisans hate Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
The Blackhawks, the Cubs.
Yeah.
And just that general feeling that Chicagoans, going back to the Eads Bridge, that Chicagoans are better than us. They got the railroad hub there.
Yeah.
They've got Lake Michigan. You know, we've got the River to Pear. there's just this feeling that, you know, when they come to town, they strut around. And so it's a story about those two. But also, you play Amy's father, who is the daydreaming Irishman, who's trying to come up with a new foolproof system to win the lottery by remembering the future.
Do I look like Amy's father? I guess for the radio and people listening there, they wouldn't know any different, but I think we're almost the exact same age. I didn't know if I looked that much older than her.
No, it's not that at all. I just thought, I'm just reaching around. And then we'll have your wife from the other play you're in, Debbie Monterey, the singing mom.
She's so good. She sings, you're right. She's great at singing.
Yeah, she actually hits the notes.
Yeah. Carol
Some
Daniel.
Some people you ask not to sing in these type of things.
Carol Daniel, Mark Reardon, Roger Brand, Kelly Hancock and Kelly, yourself. Are you going to have a role in this one, or are you going to be too busy directing?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Is Charlie going to be in it?
Oh, yeah. He plays the socialist-leaning younger brother of Amy, who gets asked to kidnap the CEO of a social media company in St. Louis for a Bitcoin ransom.
Love it. Love all of it. So the tickets are on sale now at KMOX.com/events.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone that is listening now has visited one of these in the past, you kind of know what to expect, which is you're going to laugh a lot. And it's so much more fun to watch it with a group of people.
The theater is well heated. That's what I like.
It is.
The Sheldon. It's like going to your grandmother's parlor.
Yeah, and it's easy to get in and out. And I find that when you're inside of the theater together with everyone else enjoying it, it just adds so much more to it. It's so much more fun to be there. I know KMOX has in the past replayed these in the future or whatever. I don't know if they're playing it that night, but still, being inside of the theater itself is so much more fun. I think it is.
Yeah, you get to see your favorite KMOX people performing without a net.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, you hope, you know, they're going to have to ad lib. They always ad lib and come up with something better than I wrote. So it's fun. And that it's accompanied by an old time organ and live sound effects, just like an old time radio show. No one memorizes their lines, but they read from a script and they flip through and they often go off the script. They get carried away. And so it just kind of moves along. And then somebody might come out and do a commercial. You've heard that voice on the air.
Mm-hmm.
1 year, Bart Inman was there, and they said, so that's Bart Inman.
I want to mention, too, that people come from all kinds of different states. They drive in for this. They plan vacations in St. Louis around
there. Was a couple who used to come down, I want to say, from northern Illinois, and they got a hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
It was an event for them.
There's a woman the last 2 years.
I felt like I should write an apology.
From Kentucky. Who comes in specifically for this. She travels to St. Louis for some business. She plans her business around the Holiday Radio Show, which is going to come back, Sheldon Concert Hall, on Monday, December 16th. Tickets are on sale if you go to KMOX.com/events. And on November 7th, which is Thursday, if you order tickets between 10 and 10, you get the pre-sale price, and you can put the special promo code in for $5 off, so you can't
beat that. You're a good salesman. You make me want to go.
Kevin Colleen, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
Cool. Don't forget, KMOX.com/events. You get that special $5 off coupon code that's right there, good for tomorrow when they go on pre-sale. You can get some good seats on that. And I'm telling you, it is so fun to be a part of that in person. It just feels better when you get to see the entire KMOX crew out there doing a live show. It's such a cool part. And it's one night only a year. That's all it takes. We put all that effort into one night. Kevin Colleen puts all that effort into one night. We just pretend like we did something good, but really it's all Kevin. He's amazing. And if you like his whole nother stories, it's basically a long play, like a whole nother story, just very creative and funny that way. Well, that does it for us here on Overnight America. You can follow me on Twitter at Ryan Recker. And if you miss any part of the show, you can download the podcast by going to KMOX.com/ONA or on your favorite podcast app. It could be the radio.com app. Another easy way for you to find it on there. After midnight, we do the two replay hours. So coming up, Tisha Powell is going to talk about her new book, Trump Must Win, an interesting look at the 2020 election. You're also going to hear from Dr. Stephen Mintz about being civil. And we'll talk to our friend from Kansas City, Mike Wickett, on the historic vote that happened yesterday. Enjoy the rest of your night. We'll see you tomorrow.
Rain, wishing I could see your face again. Change the dial on the radio. Find something playing kind of bluesy and slow. If things were only like they used to be, we'd be lying in love tonight. I wish you'd call me on the telephone. I don't want to spend another night alone. Sleeping with the rain.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.